Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during July. Hey, it's summertime. At least it is here in the Northern Hemisphere. Long, warm days and short, warm nights. You'd be surprised how many people think it's hotter now because Earth is closer to the sun. Nope, that's not it. In fact, in 2011, our little planet will be its farthest from Old Sol, 94,512,000 miles, on July 4th. The reason it's hot right now is that the northern hemisphere is tipped toward the sun. And conversely, it's winter in Australia because Earth's bottom half is tipped away from the sun. True darkness is fleeting in summertime, especially at higher latitudes. Here in the Boston area, for example, the last bit of twilight lingers in the west until about 10:30, leaving only 4.5 hours to revel in the star-spangled night before dawn begins to creep up in the east. So let's make the most of the darkness we have. There's a new moon right off the bat, on July 1st. In fact, on that day, the moon clips a bit of the sun's disk as it goes by, a partial solar eclipse. But it's only visible from a remote and stormy spot between Africa and Antarctica. More than likely, no human eyes will see this one. A few days later, keep a lookout for a lovely thin crescent low in the west after sunset. While gazing in that direction, you should also watch for the planet Mercury, which is putting on a moderately good showing during the first weeks of July. To find Mercury, you'll need an especially clear view toward the west, with no trees or other obstructions along the horizon. Note exactly where the sun sets, and then, about 45 minutes later, Mercury will be a few degrees, that's about half a fist at arm's length, to the upper right of the sunset point. You won't have much trouble spotting Saturn, which is about a third of the way up in the southwest as it gets dark. There's a faint star called Parima, just to Saturn's right. The two of them look like a mismatched double star. Saturn has been gracing our evening skies throughout most of 2011, but this will be the last good month to spot it before it sinks deeper into the twilight. Keep the horizon in view as you sweep a little to the left of Saturn, not much more than one fist, and you'll encounter a bright solitary beacon with an icy white color. That's Spica, the anchor star for the constellation Virgo, the Maiden. Keep going to the left, this time by 5 fists, and stop when you reach the bright star Antares above the southern horizon. Can you detect a reddish tinge to its light? Compare its color to that of Spica. Antares is strikingly similar to the planet Mars in both color and brightness, and that resemblance gives the star its name. Antares means, literally, rival of Aries, which is the Greek name for Mars. Antares is also a close match to Betelgeuse, the strikingly red star in Orion. But Antares seems to have an even deeper hue because we usually see it low in the sky where the atmosphere reddens it, just as the dense air low down reddens the setting sun. If you're still out at 10:30 or 11, take note of where Antares is along the horizon. That direction is due south. Now let's focus on Antares a bit. It's the brightest star in the constellation Scorpius. No, it's not Scorpio. That's what astrologers say. Perhaps more than in any other constellation, the stars of Scorpius really do look like their namesake. Let's trace out the shape, and here's where having a clear southern view becomes really important. Antares is the heart of our Scorpion, and close by, to its upper right and lower left, are 2 medium-bright stars representing its body. Less than 1 fist to Antares' upper right are 3 stars in a nearly vertical row. Those mark the head. Trailing down from Antares is a curving string of stars that form the Scorpion's tail. They head to the lower left and then turn upward, ending in a close-spaced pair of stars at the stinger end. These are sometimes called the cat's eyes by amateur astronomers. The farther south you live in North America or Europe, the easier it is to see the whole tail and stinger. Scorpius also harbors one of the few star clusters that can be seen easily without binoculars or a telescope. It's just to the upper left of the stinger, spaced by about the width of your middle 3 fingers. This star cluster is the 7th entry in the catalog of 18th century French astronomer Charles Messier, so it's usually called Messier 7 or M7. But the ancient Greek astronomer Claudius Ptolemy had cataloged this cluster 1600 years before Messier did. He described it as a cloudy star behind the sting of the Scorpion, so it's sometimes known as Ptolemy's cluster. Now you may have trouble seeing M7 if your skies are awash with light pollution or summer haze, but binoculars should show it with ease and resolve it into a small swarm of individual stars. July features a modest meteor shower called the Delta Aquarids. It peaks very late in the month, around July 30th, when you can expect to see about 10 or 20 meteors per hour around midnight and in the wee hours thereafter. Finally, there's a very special anniversary this month. July 12th, give or take a few days, marks the date when the planet Neptune has completed one full orbit around the Sun since its discovery in 1846. Now, Neptune is too faint to see by eye, but I can get you to the right general area. Stay up until at least 11:30, then look eastward for the three bright, widely spaced stars of the summer triangle. In the corner at lower right is Altair. Now, from Altair, go about four fists down and a little to the left. You'll be looking at the faint stars of the constellations Aquarius and Capricornus. That's generally where Neptune lies. If you wait until July 17th, the nearly full moon is 5 degrees, half a fist, above where Neptune is. If you're ambitious and have either good binoculars or a small telescope, go to skyandtelescope.com to get a finder chart for locating Neptune among the stars. Next month, we'll look for steam coming from a celestial teapot and what that has to do with the Milky Way. Until then, I wish you clear skies.